Welcome to WebEx, practical web accessibility tips.
Hello and welcome to WebEx, podcast number 65, Top 10, South by Southwest, Nikita and Joe. This is your host, Dennis.
And I'm Ross, co-host, and this is take two.
Yeah, we had to re-record, unfortunately, but I think the quality of this one will be much more tolerable for our listeners.
So. Yes, both in content and audio quality.
So, before we get to the main segment, we got some news and events to talk about. To open up, I just wanted to talk about my little trip back home to Michigan, 2 weeks ago now. I attended the Refresh Detroit meeting, which was fun.
Yeah, it was great. We all kind of met up at a
Stout Pub.
Stout Pub, bar/restaurant, and hung out with Nate, talked about Twitter and web development and all that fun stuff. So
yeah, we had a couple new faces, too.
Yeah, which is great. So if you're in the area and you hear this, come on by. I think we're going to do another casual meetup this August, so I'll just kind of hang out at a restaurant.
Yeah, okay. Sounds good. And, I had, when I was home, I saw family and friends, and I had a high school reunion that I went to, which was pretty interesting. But the reason I bring that up was because it finally got me on Facebook, because I guess a lot of people, you know, that I went to high school with are all on Facebook now. So so I finally got on Facebook, checking that out. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty much what I expected, but...
Yes. What isn't Facebook good for?
It's got all kinds of things.
Yeah. Although my problem with Facebook is, like, if you don't participate too much, it can, like, actually work against you in some ways. Like, so I never put up pictures, ever, just because I use Flickr. But the only times that I ever get put in a picture is if I'm at, like, one of Nicole's friend's birthdays or something, and we're at, like, a bar. So there's nothing but pictures of me drinking at a bar, and it looks really bad.
Yeah, people put all these outrageous and crazy pictures of you and tag you, and you're like, oh, no.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I do other things, I promise.
Okay, so, and I also had a quick getaway to Holland, Michigan. And speaking of Flickr, I just put some pictures of that on Flickr, the other day, so that's a cool little town on the Lake Michigan there. You and Nicole should check it out sometime.
Yeah, actually, she just went camping there pretty recently.
So. Oh, yeah?
I didn't go, but hopefully sometime we will go. It sounds nice.
Yeah, it's a nice little town. We saw the windmill and everything, so.
Yeah, very nice.
All right, I just want to make a... talk a little about my time tracker application. I've been doing accessible, you know, standards compliant web application currently called Time Tracker, and I sold it to my first customer, kind of a guinea pig customer. It's still in development, but so that was kind of cool. Hopefully this first customer will help me sell it to other customers, but if you want to check it out, it's checkengineusa.com/timetracker.
Yeah, it sounds cool. I keep meaning to check it out because I could be your second customer.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, you could track so your session time with clients or customers or whatever, and then run reports against that. And and you could have, of course, multiple people on your in your application that and run reports against which clients, and how much time that they use and all that stuff. So it's pretty neat.
Yeah, it sounds cool. Very
and
useful.
There's, yeah, and of course there's unobtrusive JavaScript and a little bit of accessible AJAX and stuff going on. So, and that's using PHP and MySQL, and I'm using jQuery for the JavaScript library.
Yeah, jQuery's nice.
Yeah, I like that, and I use YUI in my day job. That's pretty good.
I haven't checked it out. I've tried like everything, but you know, I did MooTools and Prototype and kind of landed on jQuery.
Yeah,
it's been quite useful.
Yeah. All right, and then the other day I put a post on my personal website, and of course the links to all this stuff will be on the podcast post. But yeah, I was thinking about, you know, maybe switching my cable services because I do not like Comcast. I don't really know anybody who does like Comcast. But so I went to the AT&T website, you know, to see what they had to offer. And the first thing I saw was a bright red letters that said, "We're sorry. The internet browser that you are using will not display the following pages properly. Please use Microsoft Internet Explorer 5.5 or higher instead."
Yes.
Talk about not using web standards and making an accessible website. If you don't have IE, then I guess you can't use or join AT&T. I don't know.
Yeah. It frightens me that people who are providing internet know so little about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's ironic, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, that wouldn't have surprised me too much if this was like, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, but not now.
Come on. Yeah, and so they support IE 5.5, but not Firefox.
Right. I'm sure they support IE 5.5, 6, 7, and 8. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, man. Okay.
Yeah, IE 5.5, and it's 2% market share versus, you know, Firefox, and they're up to, what, 35, 40?
Well, yeah, I mean, it depends on which stats you're looking at. But, yeah, I've seen it anywhere between, like, 20 and 40. But, yeah, cheers to Firefox. And Safari is slowly still, I think, gaining popularity, too. So that's good.
All us Mac users.
WebEx.
So I found a couple of interesting news bits that I thought I'd mention to anybody who's interested out there. So those of you who remember our interview with Mike Cherum and his blog, The Green Beast Blog, he wrote a pretty cool post about web accessibility, not accessibility, like excessive. It's interesting about, you know, kind of taking stuff too far and, you know, when are you taking it too far and when aren't you? So that's worth a read.
And there's a section called Good Intentions Gone Bad, and he talks about, like, poor alt text and using access keys incorrectly or not as well as you should be, like using letters rather than numbers and bad tab indexes and stuff like that. So, yeah, check it out. It's a good article.
Yeah, that's great. And then I actually wrote a post myself that you might find interesting. It's called 10 Web Design Books You Probably Missed But Owe Yourself to Read. So I found a bunch of books that I read that, you know, didn't really gain as much popularity as I thought they should. I just wrote, you know, a quick write-up about them.
Yeah, that's a good list of books. Looks like you got a fair amount of comments, too. And just today I looked at it again, and I noticed there's a comment from Chris Heilman.
Yeah.
The JavaScript or DOM scripting guru who wrote one of the books.
Yeah. So we interviewed him once, and I read his book and thought it was great. But you know, people don't seem to recommend it so much, so I thought I would throw it in there. And
yeah, I have that book, and I haven't gotten to reading it, as most of us enthusiastic web developers and designers have all these books that we never read or have time to read. So did you actually read that, Beginning JavaScript for DOM Scripting and Professional?
Yeah, I did. It was quite good. You know, I read it some time ago before I kind of got the whole library sort of thing. But it was good. You know, it's good to – I feel like it still helps me, even though I use jQuery a lot, to know how it actually works.
Mm.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah. And then if you haven't heard, so Clear Left, they're a big kind of user experience usability company in the U.K., some big names there, released this product, Silverback, which is kind of like this gorilla usability testing tool. It uses the webcam that's built in the Mac to kind of do Pretty cool usability testing that you can monitor over the internet, and it's looks interesting. I think I might have to try it at some point or another.
Yeah, and I like the logo too.
Yeah,
that cartoon gorilla guy is pretty cool.
Yeah. So that's another reason to buy it. Support the gorilla.
So yeah, it's just silverbackapp.com. Says spontaneous, unobtrusive usability testing software for designers and developers. Yeah, I saw that a short while back. Also, I forwarded that link to the design guys at my day job, so maybe they'll check that out. I know they're getting more Macs in that department, which is good. So
yeah, it seems useful, good idea. So I'll check it out and report what I find.
Excellent. WebEx. All right, let's move on to our sort of main feature. We've got four things we wanted to talk about today. The first one is top 10 tips? Question mark. It's top 10 accessibility developer tips from a company in the UK called Epic. And it looks like they put a fair amount of effort into the list. And I recommend reading it and everything. But there's a few questions about it that I just wanted to point out. It seems like it was a little outdated, maybe, I guess.
Yeah, or rushed.
Like the number two thing on their list they put was image maps. So that seems a little outdated technique. I mean, if you're using web standards and stuff, you're usually not going to be using that that technique much anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time since I've even come across an image map.
Mm. Yeah, and they, let's see. Oh, yeah. But they also say how, yeah, use the client-side map as opposed, I guess, to the server-side map, which you're not supposed to use for web accessibility, and which I don't think I've seen once in my entire, 10 or 12 years of doing this. So.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever seen one. I've heard of them, sure, but never seen one, so.
Anyhow, and I left a comment in there. They don't mention forms.
Yeah.
Which I think, forms is obviously a major part of a website or web doing web development and accessibility also. So, I think that's a big one that they left off the list.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's strange. That's how you interact with any website. It's going to be through forms, and, forms and accessibility are kind of tricky, so.
Yeah.
It's completely ignoring is interesting.
See, number five is could be split into two. It says page organization, use headings, lists, and consistent structure, and that's all good. And it goes on to say use CSS for layout and style where possible.
Yeah, and we had talked about this before. Why not just have one that says use web standards, which by itself goes a long way to making a site accessible.
Yeah, and I could see how those two things are related, but they really should be two different points. It's still obviously a valid rule, but it just seems a little outdated to me. Hopefully everyone listening out there is using CSS for layout now. And if you're not, then you got to get up to speed.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a final note. I thought it was ironic that they're talking about, web accessibility and everything, yet the two bullet lists and the ordered list, the numbered list, don't use lists. Don't use an OL and a UL. I think they're just big paragraphs, right?
Yeah, they're just paragraphs with they insert like a bullet character.
Yeah.
Which is...
So Epic... Epic thinking.
I mean, good try.
He's taking maybe if they're listening, they'll update that article, or feel free to call Ross or me for some consultation.
Yeah, I mean, I think the idea is right. I mean, obviously, to spread accessibility is great, but
that's something that a lot of companies aren't even doing, even like giving it a thought or a chance. So
Yep.
That's a good starting point.
Yeah, but yeah, make sure to use Symantec XHTML because that makes it more accessible also.
That's right. All right, moving on. South by Southwest Panels 2009. It's March next year. Seems a long ways away, but after, you know, fall's coming in the holidays, and next thing you know, it'll be South by Southwest.
Yeah. It always sneaks up on me because I'm always like, oh, I'm going to go, and then it's like March, and I'm like, oh, I can't go. So.
Right. Plan early.
Yeah.
But whoever does, right?
Yeah. So,
but the reason I bring it up is because you can now vote for panels, and there's some on Adobe's accessibility blog. They brought up that there's a few accessibility panels that you can vote for or highly rate. They got a star system going there now. I couldn't find that at first. I'm like, well, where's the link to vote? You know, but I mean, it was like a stupid. It seems like a stupid mistake, but I mean, maybe it's not a stupid mistake because I was just a new user.
Yeah.
Like I was looking for like one big link that said, you know, like vote here.
Yeah.
And there isn't one on that page. There's like a menu on the right side with a bunch of different categories, and then you just select one of the categories.
Oh, okay.
And then it takes you to the voting for the panels for each of those categories. And I didn't even see that at first.
Huh.
So, yeah, that was an interesting. I don't know, something to learn there.
Well, it's, yeah, something to note, you know, if people aren't even kind of used to it. You know, it's not a convention.
I also noticed, though, on their main page, when they talk about the application is now live, you won't believe this, but they have, it says click here with here hyperlinked to access the panel picker voting application, which I thought any accessibility or usability people know that that's a very, very poor practice to hyperlink click here. I mean,
yeah, well, especially so. Just here. And not to get too picky, but they haven't underlined any of their links either, which is a simple way to make sure that the site.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
So,
but anyhow, the point is, the main point was, there's accessible Flash and Flex applications panel. There's going to be a WCAG 2 practical implications for web accessibility now. This is the name of another panel. And then one ARIA duet in the key of AJAX. So I guess something about accessibility in AJAX. I'm not really sure. That's going to be put on by Nobility. So yeah, I'll have to go and put those on give those a high ranking on the voting for panel page.
Yeah, as well.
Yeah, hopefully I'll see you there next year.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm going to try and make it out, and then next year we should just try and speak at it, which would solve the whole problem.
Yeah, now you're talking. I'm going next Monday and Tuesday is an event apart in San Francisco, so I finally registered.
Oh, really? You're going to go?
Yeah, I almost didn't, but, like, it's nothing like last minute.
Well, last time, didn't you meet some good people there?
Yeah, I met Joe Clark and a bunch of people. It was pretty cool.
Zeldman and...
Yeah, I met Zeldman. He was there with his, like, wife and kids. And
really?
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I gotta make it out to one of those. In San Francisco would be perfect because then I could see your area of town.
Yeah, and we could record a podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
But so, yeah, they have events in, Boston, I think? In Chicago?
New York, I think. Don't they have an event in New York?
Okay, enough about South by Southwest and conferences. Let's move on to Nikita the Spider.
Yeah, so this is a group that's asked for your advice at some point, a couple years ago?
Yeah, they... they email me for some feedback because it's like a web validation. It's a code validation. It's a validator for for web code and web accessibility. And it's a pretty cool little application now. I sent them some feedback, and they've done a lot of changes. And let's see. And I got, oh yeah, and 456 Berea Street. This is what really called my attention to Nikita the Spider again, is there was some, there was a post on 456 Berea Street that talks about some statistics put out by Nikita the Spider. That's pretty interesting. So check that out. And the most common validation error, believe it or not, is neglecting to specify an alt attribute for image elements.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I don't know. It was kind of surprising, but I guess just a little depressing that people still aren't putting in at least an empty alt tag or some. You know, some kind of alt attribute in their images.
Because I'm sure that it's not checking for, like, proper alt attributes. It's just making sure that they're there. Because, you know, it's too subjective to see if the description of the alt attribute matches the image. So it's really just a matter of people are too lazy to even put an empty one in, which is frightening.
Yeah, or maybe even scary. Well, I don't know if it's scarier, but... You think the applications out there, you know, would put in an empty one by default?
Yeah, or content management systems, you know, even if you don't specify one, at least put it there.
Yeah, I guess that would be good. But, I mean, we've talked about this numerous times, and it's...
Yeah.
I'm sure accessibility people obviously do this, yeah. But, you know, we're still the few.
Yeah.
So.
It wasn't one of your first podcasts about alt attribute 2 years ago?
Yeah, one of the first ones was... one of the first couple, yeah, I forget which one. But yeah, so, I mean, if you're more of a beginner in web accessibility, then you definitely want to check out the earlier episodes of WebX, and I talk about there's more basic stuff going into the code a little more about, forms and tables and images and things like that. So, good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, lastly, our friend Jill Dawson. Let's see. He's been on the show once or twice, and I noticed short time ago that he has a new website design, which I just wanted to mention. And it's a nice new, clean, fresh look.
Yeah, looks good.
And he has a couple articles of late relating to accessibility. Web accessibility is not SEO, so. And the other one, spam versus accessibility. But the web accessibility is not SEO. He talks about, you know, obviously there's some similar things there and they're related, you know, but it's not the same thing. And he discusses the use of sitemaps and headings and titles and alt attributes.
Yeah, I think kind of the value that I got out of it was that, you know, accessible website can help SEO. There's kind of this tendency in SEO where maybe you focus more on the keywords and reusing those keywords versus, you know, how accessible is the site. And that's kind of one of the splits.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, you know, like with other things in web development, you know, business reasons and, you know, resources and time and all that jazz and web standards, I mean, there's a balance there,
yeah,
you know.
Absolutely.
Got to balance all these things. So, but yeah, so check out that article. It's some good discussion. And then the other one, spam versus accessibility. He talks about, you know, like, you know, when you're stopping spam bots from using your forms, you know, and CAPTCHA and different techniques for stopping the robots or tricking the robots. Something called behavior detection and requiring specific capabilities. It's a kind of a different technique that he goes into. So it's, you know, I mean, some of it is, he talks about, you know, techniques we're familiar with, but there's a few new techniques in there and some insight that Joe also, that Joe always has. That's always good to read.
Yeah, it's kind of this ongoing battle. I don't know that there's any perfect solution, but how do you do it in a way that actually does stop spam but doesn't stop humans? All humans.
Right. And that's accessible and that's usable.
Yeah.
You know, and like
because even as a captcha can be incredibly difficult depending on the situation, you know, like is that a number, is that a line, you know, do they care if it's capital or, you know, all that, so.
Yeah, the captcha, yeah, 2 or 3 years ago I thought it was great, you know, and okay, you just provide a audio alternative and you're set, you know, but if I was to start over again, you know, going forward, I mean, I'm not implementing captcha.
Yeah, anyway.
It's too diff. It causes too many problems. Yeah. You know, there's a bunch of other alternative ways to do it to stop spam bots that are much better. So.
Exactly. So.
And that's a whole other discussion.
Yeah. So. but it's a good article. It's good to read and know what the options are, so you can pick which one works best for your situation.
That's right. Okay, cool. Well, that's it for Podcast 65. We discussed some top 10 tips, South by Southwest, Nikita the Spider, and Joel Dawson's articles.
All right.
So thanks for listening. We'll catch you next
time.
Bye,
everyone.
The WebAx blog and podcast is located at webaxe.blogspot.com. webaxe.blogspot.com. Email webaxe@gmail.com. webaxe@gmail.com. To leave a voice message, call 206-203-0585. WebAx is sponsored by Check Engine USA, website tune-ups and overhauls. www.checkengineusa.com.